The sermon this evening comes from Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Philippians chapter 1, starting with verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and to the praise of God. Pray with me. Our Father, we thank you for speaking to us tonight. We thank you that you always speak to us in your word sung, your word read, your word prayed, your word preached. Lord, help us tonight not to be idle hearers. Help us tonight to be diligent in listening, to hear you, to understand you, to trust you, that we will each grow in grace, that we will each grow in knowledge, that we will each be putting off the old man and putting on the likeness of Christ, that you will be glorified in the ways that we live, that you will be glorified in the ways that we love. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Each of us in our lives, we have had good teachers and we have had bad teachers. We have had those who would come alongside us and labor. We have had those who would just stand over us and shout. Some of the best teaching in our lives has been hopefully from parents. Sometimes a parent will come alongside you and work with you. Sometimes a parent will be kind enough to nurture you and to care for you. And sometimes a parent will let you try again and again and again and fail again and again and again. It is that sweet moment when a parent doesn't explode on us or a teacher doesn't explode on us but says, "Son, let me show you again how to do it." We look at the scripture and it's as if throughout the Older Testament, God had been showing us again and again and again what love would look like. And the sacrifices, again and again and again. And it's as if in the newer covenant, he said, "All right, here I come. Let me show you again what love actually looks like." It is that sweet moment in history, that sweet moment in time that we read about in the Gospels. Christ walked the earth and he sat down and he opened his mouth and he taught the people. I've often been struck in the correlations in Matthew and in Mark where it says Jesus looked at the people and saw them, that they were wandering and tormented like sheep without a shepherd. And then the parallel verse in Mark says, and he taught them many things. He showed us, he demonstrated for us what real love looks like, what real life looks like. And it's not what the world says. It's not what the world offers us. It's not the glory that the world offers. It's not the aimless distraction that the world offers. But it's true wisdom. It's true grace. It's true understanding. It's looking to the true King. It's looking to the true God. It's fearing him and it's walking within his ways. So as we would look at our lives and we would keep asking the question from Psalm 119b, how can I cleanse my ways? We see that we cleanse our ways with true wisdom, with true knowledge, with true discernment that comes from the scripture. So the call for you tonight in accordance with these passages is to advance in true discernment as we look forward to the day of Christ. Our first step, number one, expect God's will to be accomplished. Expect God's will to be accomplished. Philippians 1:9. In this I pray, that your love may abound more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. We'll continue. That you may prove the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and the praise of God. And the focus is just those four words there. And this I pray. And this I pray. As we look here, Paul being moved by the Holy Spirit, the will of the Holy Spirit is being revealed in Paul. This is the very will of Christ. This is the will of the Father, that you and I be advanced in such reality, that we would be taken this way. If you or I, if we had a little book and we wrote down from each birthday, we wrote down our wishes for our birthday. If every time we saw a shooting star and we believed in such things, and we wrote down the wish that we made when we saw the first star of the evening, if we had our little desires and our little fantasies, our wishes and our wishes and our wishes, what could we do with that book? What value would it have? What if, though, you came across God's wish book? If you came to the things that were His heart's desire. It's what He really wanted to see. You see, our wish book could be thrown into a fire, really. Our wish book does not amount to much. Our wish book is just wishful thinking. But God's wish, God's desire, God's will actually be accomplished. The beauty of this passage and what we see here, the beauty is this is God's will for us. It is as certain as if I picked up this Psalter and I let it go, that it would fall and it would bang down on this stage right now. God's will, God's wish is the law. It is what will be. God's wish, God's will determines reality. God's will, God's wish determines what will be in your life. And it is His will that we be moved forward. Daniel 4:35, all of the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but He does according to His will in the hosts of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can ward off His hand or say to Him, what have you done? I love the picture of His will is done with the host of heaven. That is, as you and I look and see the sun rising, and we are certain that it is His will. His will is done in the hosts of heaven. As we look and we can see and we take pictures of the star trails, the stars turning in the sky, they turn because it is His will. You cannot stop the stars from turning in the heavens, as it is the earth turning in the earth. You cannot stop the sunrise. I laughed at myself this morning when I looked out and I saw the sunlight coming up. And I said, I guess God wanted the sun to rise today. He did. It is the reality. As He does His will in heaven, as He causes the sun to rise, as He causes the moon to shine, as this is His heart's purpose, in the same way, He does His will on earth among the nations, among men, among individuals. When Paul says, and this I pray, he's saying, and this is certain. Proverbs 16:9. The mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. In 1 John 5:14, we see the confidence that we can have as we know Paul, being carried by the Spirit, prayed God's will. 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So in accordance with His will, we move to God's greatest desire for our lives. We move to exactly what He will be accomplishing. And this is our second step. Abound in love more. Abound in love more. Again, verse 9. "In this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment." If we wrestle with this idea as we have been moving through 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the idea of love, how many of us could look at that chapter and say, and shrug and say, "Yep, got it. Got it. I love. I do. I love. I got it." Even if you or I were to find ourselves in such a place where we could shrug and say, "Got it. I've got that down." I'm reminded when we studied Kung Fu and I went and showed my Kung Fu master the basic broad form that I had gotten down. I showed him and I went through it without a mistake. And he said, "Good. Now do it 1,000 times and then you've got it." And I laughed. Turns out he wasn't kidding. The idea is, once you do something right 1,000 times, then you've got it. I would love to say that I've gotten loving anyone down right 1,000 times. I don't think I can do it twice without messing it up. So even if we were in a place where we could say, "Got it, I love," and it's as if God smiles and pats us on the head in such a moment and says, "Good, you love? Now go abound in love. Go do it 1,000 times. And we imagine if we could come back and say, "Did it, got it, I abounded in love." And it's as if he looks at us and pats us on the head with this verse again. He says, "Good, good. Now go abound in love more." And as if we could say from that place, "Got it," he does it again. We run back and he pats us on the head and says, "That's good. That's good, you love. Now go abound in love more and more." Such a place can do nothing but point us to Jesus Christ. Such statements cannot show us anything but Christ. As you and I couldn't say, "Got it," once, couldn't say, "Got it," twice, couldn't say, "Got it," my third time, can't say, "Got it," my fourth time. We look at ourselves and we see ourselves falling short, because this picture of loving kindness that's given to us from 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. And I hope we're getting this enough, and I hope you're hearing this in terms first of your closest neighbors, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, sons and fathers, mothers and daughters. Love is patient. Love is kind. And is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. It's beautiful that we have this place that we can fall back to. As we ask again and again, "How? How can I cleanse my ways?" We fall back and look and see, this is the pattern that Christ has shown us. Our next step, number 3, is earnestly pursue real knowledge. Earnestly pursue real knowledge. Again, verse 9. "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment." What is real knowledge? How does that fit? Is there false knowledge that you and I would have to be in the place that we would be pursuing real knowledge? I've told the story again of how a child sometimes figures things out. He looks and asks a question. He ponders the question. He comes up with a possible solution and says, "It could be this way. Maybe it is." Moving from there to, "Yeah, it's probably this way." To moving to the place that it is this way and it can be no other. Such a place, and arriving at such a place, shows us that there is a false knowledge. 1 Corinthians 1, 20 through 24 shows us the dangerous place and the sad place that the world lands in. God asks the question, where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs, and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. What is true knowledge? True knowledge is in the fear of the Lord. True knowledge is in His Word. True knowledge, it is those things that will not be changed, those things that will not be undone. As we look at life, there is so much that we have once believed that we know no longer is true. But the Word of the Lord endures forever. Earnestly pursue real knowledge. I wonder if you look at your life and you look at the things that you have earnestly pursued. I remember when I was in high school and a friend of mine introduced me to comic books. And I thought they were wonderful, just wonderful. And there was this ad in the comic books that said Mile High Comics. And they had this list, probably of hundreds, maybe thousands of comic books and a price with them. And if you wrote a check, put it in the mail, sent it, and wrote the comics that you wanted and sent that in, eventually those very comics that you ordered would come. And there were old ones, there were new ones, and I was actually able to look and see the first 10 issues of my favorite superhero. And one at a time, or two at a time, or three at a time, I worked and I worked and I worked, and I worked with the intent to save up that money to buy those specific comic books, and I would send away for them. And then you wait for that sound. Each day you waited for the sound. What sound? The sound of the UPS truck. You waited to hear it coming. And where I lived, you could hear a truck from a mile away or further. And you would play in the yard and you would always be listening when you had ordered something. You'd wait for that sound and you would hear a truck in the distance and you would run to the bottom of the driveway and you would wait to see, is that truck the truck that I have been waiting for? Is it what I have worked for? Is it what I have sent for? And this would go on for weeks. You wouldn't know when it was coming. There was no Amazon Prime 2-day free delivery. I earnestly desired what I had worked for. I really wanted it. We look here and see that we are to abound in real knowledge. And we should earnestly be desiring the truth. It is what ought to be delighting our heart. Our next step is passionately seek godly discernment. Passionately seek godly discernment. Again, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. If we looked at our lives and we saw the effects of our own foolishness, none of us would want our brothers and our sisters to face the same effects that you and I have known. We ought to be like those people who have stuck our finger in a light socket and we have felt that pain and we turn to everyone around us and say, don't do that. We would want to spare our children our pains and our miseries. We would want to show them our scars and teach them not to go the ways that we have gone. James 1, 5 through 6, if we turn from looking at our brothers and our sisters and turn to look at ourselves and our own need. James 1, 5 through 6, but if any of you lacks wisdom, Let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. It's surprising how comfortable we are being tempted with sin. I'm reminded of the book, The Farmer Boy. Laura Wilder, who had written the Little House on the Prairie series, she talked to her husband and she wrote down his stories too. And it's a really great book, The Farmer Boy. And there's one point where he had worked and he had worked and he had worked and he had grown a giant pumpkin. And he took it to the fair and it's in this competition. And the judge walks by and he's surveying little Alonzo's pumpkin. And he asks him, "Did you do anything extra to that pumpkin?" And in Alonzo's mind, everything rolls through what he had done. All of the extra stuff that he had done. He had fed it milk, for example. And in that moment, he was afraid. He was afraid that feeding it milk was cheating. And in that moment, he thought, "I'll say no, I didn't do anything special." And then his heart dropped with dread, the way that is kind of the way the book describes it. And he told the truth. I fed it milk. And it turned out it was okay. But he walked away from that moment with shock and terror in his heart. And he said to himself, "I actually considered lying. I actually considered lying." It was as if that temptation in the moment shone a light into a shadow in his heart, that he was filled with dread because of that position. As we look at our own lives, as we can discern our own lack of wisdom when we actually want to sin. When we look at those things of the world and say, "That would be good. That would be good. I wish I had that." We see that we have not learned from our scars. We see that we have not learned from the pains that we have already inflicted upon ourselves. We look and we see the heart of wisdom, Psalm 119, 66 and 67. "Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your commandments." Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Hear this wisdom. "To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 2, 3 through 6. "For if you cry out for discernment, lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver, and search for her as for hidden treasures, and you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." In Proverbs chapter 3, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn from evil. It will be healing for your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights." As I look at these passages in Proverbs, when are we seeing Solomon? At what point in his life is he saying these things? Is it in his old age when he looks and he sees the crimes that he has committed? Is it when he's feeling the burden of so many wives and so many concubines? Is it after he has bowed down to idol after idol? After he has known pain and misery and sorrow and felt the reproach of the Lord? It would make sense for him to be able to look to his son and cry out in this way, "Hear me. Hear me. Hear me. Be spared from such things. Pursue God. Pursue wisdom. Pursue real knowledge." So our next step, number 5, seek to approve excellence. Seek to approve excellence. Look with me at verses 9 and 10 now from Philippians 1. "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent." We look and what are we to approve? What are we to actually approve of? I consider my life and my mind goes back to a time when I was in art school. And there was this man who lacked wisdom, a young man who lacked discernment. And he was always saying the most foolish things. And I don't just mean lacking knowledge. I mean the heart of a fool as we see it in Proverbs. And he described in his life, if he were a homeless man, he would just take a 2x4 and he would just go into a parking lot. He'd look for a guy in a nice suit and he would just bang him over the head, knock him down and take his wallet. And he shrugged and he said, "Because what have I got to lose anyway?" And I remembered in that moment, I looked to the teacher to see what the teacher was going to say, how that older man in the position of authority was going to respond. And I remember he leaned back in his chair and he put his hands behind his head and he just kind of smiled and nodded at that statement. And that struck me. I thought that, oh, we can respond that way to stuff. And through the course of my life since that time in 1992, I have found myself, when I hear people say things, just smiling and nodding. And I've gotten to a place in my older age where I've stopped myself and I've looked at people and I've had to say, "Just because I smiled and nodded at you just now, please don't assume that I agree with you." At what are we smiling and nodding? Where is it as if we are giving approval of what is going on around us? Sometimes when we give approval to something, we might say, "Well, at least it's not as bad as this. Someone got 6 stitches in their head. Well, at least it's not as bad as 10. That's true. But what if, and what about when it comes to situations of morality? Do we just approve a level of wickedness that's not as bad as another level of wickedness? Are we to approve of the things that are okay? Are we to approve of the things that are just fine? Are we to approve of the things that are just a little better than the okay option? No. We are to grow in real knowledge that we may approve the things that are excellent. To approve the things that are actually in accordance with God's will. This brings us to our sixth step, which is pursue sincerity. Pursue sincerity. Verse 10, "So that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere." I look at my life and I wonder how many times I was insincere. When I smiled and I nodded. When I gave approval to those things that are not excellent. And even times that I gave approval to those things that are wicked. Romans 12:9 moves this back into the category of love. "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good." This puts many of us in a very difficult situation. I'm a pastor, so most of the time it's going to be expected that I am going to take a stand for the Scripture and for the will of God. For those of you who are only operating within a Christian household or operating within a Christian school or within a Christian sporting league or something like that, there's going to be an expectation, I hope, that each of you will actually be pursuing the will of God, that you would be pursuing holiness. The rest of us who are in the midst of secular employment, the rest of us who are rubbing shoulders with unbelievers regularly, the tension just might be greater there. It may be more difficult for you to be in the position to actually be sincere. See, a problem is insincerity can be casual. Hypocrisy can be casual. It can actually be as simple as being idle. Again, Philippians 1:10-11, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and to the praise of God. And what is that fruit of righteousness that is in Christ, but the fruit of the Spirit? Love that we have been defining. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And if you're like me, you see that list and you say, I need more Jesus. I need more Jesus. I need more fellowship with Him. I need more interaction with Him, that this would be the reality of my life. Now, this is taken and put here in a glaring light, which casts terrible shadows. And this brings us to our seventh step, that we would do all of this looking to the day of Christ. That we would do all of this looking to the day of Christ. Philippians 1:10. So that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. How do you interpret the day of Christ? What do you think of when you hear those words or read those words? The day of Christ. It is that day in which Jesus will be ultimately and completely revealed to the world. It is that day where He will be fully acknowledged as prophet, the one who has said everything right, as priest, that lamb who was slain from before the foundation of the world, and as king who will subdue all of His and all of our enemies. Revelation 20:11. Then I saw a great white throne and Him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 puts it this way, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. I look at that and I imagine and I wonder, what will this be like? And I imagine Him coming back and Him shouting, and when He shouts, heaven and earth flee from His presence. I think of the last time that we heard Jesus shout. It was when He was on the cross and He shouted, it is finished. It is finished. When He said that, what did He mean at that time? He meant the older covenant is accomplished. He meant that He had accomplished all righteousness. He meant He was at the place and He laid down His life for our salvation. All of the works of the law, all of those efforts were finished and salvation was being accomplished. I wonder about when He comes back. What will He shout? The Scripture tells us that He is not slow in His coming. And the reason He has been slow in His coming, as some would account slowness, it's His patience. It's his patience. We started with the picture of a father working with a child saying, like this, like this, like this. Christ has continued to speak, and he is to be speaking through his church as we are the pillars and the foundation of the truth. We are those ones who are now to be saying, like this, like this, like this. As this has been taking place, we look and we see in the scripture, there is a time. There is a time coming, as has been the case with every father that has ever lived, when he yells, "It enough. Enough." I imagine when Christ comes back, he will shout those words again. It is finished. It is finished. I have waited these thousands of years. I have been patient this long. I have given you everything that you need for faith and repentance. It is finished. And when he shouts it this time, heaven and earth will flee from his presence. We saw it before in the scripture when he said it is finished. The shockwave must have gone forth because the earth shook. Rocks split open and the shockwave went to the temple and the veil was torn. Again, he will shout. Again, the shockwave will go forth. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Psalm 2, 9. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. In Revelation 22, 12, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. We look at our lives, and what do we need? More Jesus. More Jesus. We need more sincerity in our lives, to affirm what is excellent, to hate what is evil, to be patient and loving and kind, to speak the truth and love, that we will be those people who shine. So may we be those who are putting off what lies behind. May we be those who are pressing forward to what lies ahead. We look in Psalm 119, and you can join me there, the Q selection. 119Q. We see the verse of Christ, I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the arrogant oppress me. We see the heart of Christ in his pain before the cross. My eyes fail with longing for your salvation and for your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your loving kindness and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for the Lord to act, for they have broken your law. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold. Yes, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem right all of your precepts concerning everything. I hate every false way. This is the Lord's heart for us. This is the heart of Christ. May we have such a heart in all humility. And we have such a heart with all grace to approve those things that are excellent, to discern true knowledge, and to walk in the steps of Christ. Pray with me. Our Lord, you have given us what is good in your word. You have spoken truth, even eternal truth. You have shown us your will. You have shown us what will be. Lord, bless us as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that it is you who wills and who is at work in us, that we would move forward with confidence for you and for your glory, taking heart and finding joy in those things that are good and true and eternal. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.